Awesome to welcome Spring Arbor University men's basketball coach Ryan Cottingham to the Basketball Podcast. Ryan enters his 27th season as the head coach of the Spring Arbor University men's basketball program, a tenure defined by championship pedigree and historic consistency. After beginning his career as an assistant at Alma College and joining the SAU staff in 1998, Cottingham took over as the eighth head coach in program history in 1999. Since then, he has become the winningest coach in Spring Arbor history, amassing 444 victories and leading the Cougars through 11 20-win seasons. The pinnacle of Cottingham's career came during the historic 2018-19 season, where he guided the program to a 30-win campaign and the NAIA Division II National Championship, the first in school history. Following this landmark achievement, he was honored as the NABC-NAIA National Coach of the Year. This national success was a continuation of winning culture he established early on, having previously led the team to back NCCAA national titles in 2005 and 2006.
Hey, Coach, a brief interruption of our podcast. You know the best player development is coaching development. So let's work together to get your entire basketball organization or program unparalleled expertise and access to Basketball Immersion's group memberships. It's affordable and your players will thank you. Contact us today, basketballimmersion.com contact page, or DM us on X or Instagram. Get your coaches full access to our extensive coaching video library, detailed courses, and modern evidence-based coaching ideas. You can have proven coach development at your fingertips for all of your coaches. Elevate your coaches, elevate your teams, get started now. Basketball Immersion Group membership is where innovation meets excellence. Contact us today at basketballimmersion.com contact page, or DM us on X or Instagram. Now back to the podcast.
Ryan, welcome to the Basketball Podcast.
Hey, Chris, good to be with you. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
I had a chance. It's better to talk to you on a podcast than to compete against your team. When I was at the University of Windsor, went across, played you a few times. A great program, incredible success. And let's start there. Sustaining longevity and success at a small college. Incredibly challenging, and you've done it so well. Talk to us about that.
Where does time go, Chris? Yeah, man, we love competing against your teams. We actually were always trying to steal things that you did because your X's and O's, your strategy, we thought was just really good. And so we loved competing with you. Yeah, it's amazing how fast time goes. I think you have to be able to adapt, right? You have to be able to adjust because things are always changing. And it's like, how do you not lose who you are at your base, but at the same time adapt to the changing culture that we're in and just the flow of things now with the analytics and all that's going on. When we came in, it was VHS tapes, you're live scouting. And now these, like my assistant Coach Doe, he is an analytics guru. He dives into the film and the breakdown. It's changed so much in the way people approach the game. But at small college, what do you do? Because you're trying to do everything yourself. I laugh because I still do laundry. We drive vehicles. We need to drive vehicles. I'm making a Sam's Club run here shortly to get supplies, right? For the locker room and for our road trip. And it's just, you just got to embrace it. It keeps you humble. But again, it's all, how can we serve our young men? And we don't want to ask them to do anything that we're not willing to do. So it's, we're just shoulder to shoulder with people. And it's pretty awesome.
I'm smiling and laughing because I know all those things as well. And I know, big moment, you have a window in your office, and I didn't have a window forever. And those little things that just make a cool difference in Nest. But the other thing is, I know so many coaches in the profession, especially young coaches in the profession, just constantly talking about, oh, I want to rise. But there's something to be said about staying in one place and having a really good career, but also the consistency for your family, the consistency for you, all those different things. So help frame that a little bit for some coaches as well.
Bigger is not always better, right? You can have a first-class program no matter where you're at. And it's about being able to fully invest in the present moment and not always thinking ahead. And you're exactly right. I was able to raise my family in this small community, and they were able to be a part of it. So it's not like I'm gone for 10, 12 days at a time on the other side of the country and all these road trips and the recruiting and just the grind. And it can chew you up and spit you out in a hurry. And we're so much about just cultivating relationships and what's long-term, right? We want to be transformational as opposed to transactional. And I think small college allows you to do that, right? Where my wife has to work, right? It's a dual income family and our kids are grown and out of the house, but it requires some sacrifices and it's a team thing. But again, We get to pour into young people. I got to take them out for lunch and for dinner and have them over to the house. And so all these things that you get to do in addition to just coaching. Because I always say if you're just doing X's and O's, I think we're missing the mark. And we get to impact lives. And at this level, I think it's at its purest form.
Well, you couldn't have said anything better to lead into our topic today, which I know culture is always a big thing for you. We've had so many culture conversations through the years. And let's start maybe just frame the basics for us, the core values that kind of shape your program. And then we'll get into some of the really cool specific things that you do.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks so much. So our motto, we have this motto, winning is always our goal, never our purpose. And so we just want to have clarity on who we are. We never want our identity to be in the outcome of a game or our stats. And then I think that can just rock people's world. They're up, they're down, and they're all over the place. But no, we want to focus on those things that we can control and who we are as human beings. We think it's far more important. And so our core values, we talk about integrity, we talk about toughness, and we talk about unity. And when we think about integrity, we're talking about doing what's right. Your yes has to be yes, and your no has to be no, and you honor your commitments. And I think that's really important. And when we talk about toughness, we talk a lot about body language. That just shows how tough we really, everybody has a bravado, wants to beat their chest. But how do you respond to adversity, right? How do you keep showing up with the right mindset? That perseverance piece is what we think is absolutely critical. And then the unity, if we're not together, because we're not going to have the most talent. Chris, we're always going to play teams that have better talent, but if we have great unity, we think we can overcome a lot. And so learn how to be selfless and what it means to put others ahead of yourself, I think is huge because adversity is coming and it's going to come often and it comes in waves and you've got to be prepared to handle that adversity and it's got to pull you together, not rip you apart. And so that's really important to us. And so just having an attitude of gratitude and just having a humble mentality. And not this entitlement in this age that we're in. It's, you know, nobody owes you anything, man. Every day, come and prove yourself and work hard and make our program better because you're a part of it. Well, I say, what are you giving? What are you giving to this program, man? Because everybody's a me type of thing. And so, how do we die to self every day? And we do a mantra every year. Our guys pick a mantra, and that was what it was last year, die to self. And that's easy to say, but that's hard. I'm pretty selfish, man. I got all these aspirations, desires. It's like, how do I get out of the way and make it about the team? The team. I'm stealing old Bo Schembechler being in Michigan, right? Bo Schembechler, the team, the team, the team. And so we hammer that every day.
Yeah, I love that. And you referenced talent. And just to give people a little bit of a reference, it's not that necessarily your level lacks skill. In fact, almost the hard part about playing your team versus a Division I is that all five players are very skilled, but they just don't necessarily have the athletic profile or the height profile. And you play against Division I, so there's one dude that can get a bucket anytime they want. But the size and the athleticism is what's different. But your level's very skilled, and that's what always gave us problems.
Yeah, you're right. And oftentimes it's overlooked. Now with the portal and with NIL, we're seeing guys because the Crossroads League we're in is really, we're seeing guys. Look, we lost a big guy. We were fortunate to have him for 3 years. He was phenomenal. And he was too good. In the end, they came after him. He loved me. And we don't blame him. He got paid to go to Division I and he started. And we're thrilled for him. Awesome young man. Like I said, we're grateful for him too. And we're seeing that more and more guys that are leaving. And again, you have to adapt. And so if that's what this is, somewhat of a stepping stone for some, we're going to be okay with that. You have to. It's if we're in it for the right reason, for helping young people, they get a chance to get paid and get off to a good start because they're paying money to come to school at Spring Arbor. You know what I mean? How do you fault a kid? And so all the talent, there's talent all over the place. People have no idea how competitive it is at small college.
And a great perspective there in terms of adapting and being able to welcome that as an opportunity for players as well. Core values, awesome. Let's get into some of the specific things. And I think this is really where the cool part is, because I've always said with culture, it's not the words, it's how you bring it to life and the different things that you do to connect it for your players. And the first thing is your preseason fun week. Talk to us about that. I don't think I've ever heard that term before, fun, but that's really what this should be for all these players, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. And so we the flip because you want the positive spin. So instead of hell week, it's this 5 a.m. We absolutely are going to bust their balls to test it. And really, we know we're going to get in basketball shape, but this is just an early indication. When we talk about unity, it really helps promote and foster unity, but also the toughness piece. How much are they willing to endure and push themselves? And because it's amazing how much farther you can go than you really think. It's what are you willing to give? The body's just extraordinary if the mind will stay with it. And so we go through this week, this fun week, And it's amazing what they accomplish together, right? When you do something together and the sacrifice that they're willing to make. And then at the end of the week, we celebrate, we go out and they jump in the lake after we survive. And it just creates this foundation for us, this together, we can do this. We're going to pay a price. And because again, when things get hard, what are guys going to do? Are they going to check out? Or are they going to stay together? So it's such a, to me, such a groundwork for the founder. And it just becomes a badge of honor and sense of pride to make it through. Fun. We got guys puking on the side, but they're just picking each other up and pushing through. And during the season, when things get tough, we'll revert back to fun week. Hey, you remember during fun week what we did? And we're like, nobody else is doing this. And it just creates this togetherness. And we track all these things, right? We track times and scores and we do top tens. So it connects our past guys and alums, what they did. So they get to see what they did in these different events throughout. And it's really a cool piece. And we were talking earlier about Matt Van Pelt, who was on your show a week ago, and he was arguably the hardest worker we ever had. Best on-ball defender, just tenacious, man. And so when he's talking about the lock left, I'm all just listening to him. He's in Thailand. He's just such a dude. He came back several years after he had graduated, Chris, and it was during our fun week. And he wanted to play with the guys. He came for an afternoon. And he stayed the night and went through one of our fun weeks the next day, running our Mount BB and then out running on the soccer field. We were doing these 100-yard sprints. Matt Van Pelt won it. He won. It just tells you how tough he is. But so you got an alum coming back, busting his rear and showing these guys what it's all about. It was unbelievable. It was just amazing.
What a great testament to the fun week too, that an alum would want to do it again, just because they knew the value of it. And we say fun week, obviously it's a hard week, a challenging week for them, but a great phrasing to be able to convince them that, again, this is part of the process and this is part of the development. But can you give us just a quick outline of some of the things that are in that fun week?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's a variety of things. So we are running, we call it Mount Beebe. There's a hill out behind that we're running laps. And again, everything is timed. We time, we record everything. And our whole desire is guys to improve from the year before. The first year guys, we give them a base minimum, right? We're going to do the mile. We're going to be on the track, running track workouts, Duke track. We're stealing things from people all the time. We're stealing soccer workouts. We're on the soccer field. We're creating CrossFit drills that we're doing from jump ropes and up downs and all these, just a variety of things to just shock their bodies and shock their minds there a little bit too. And then again, sprint work on the court. And then we're doing additional testing, pull-up test, and then we're doing push-up test, and then we're doing the 185 bench test, because that's what they do at the NBA combine. And so we just wrap all these things into these various days that they have in front of them. And it goes from excitement on day one to middle of the week, they're surviving, you know what I mean? And then by the end of the week, they're like celebrating, man, we did this thing. We did it, and we did it together. And that sense
that
of
shared suffering thing. Yeah, I know.
Yes, that's it, Chris. That's it.
So are you doing basketball during this week too, or is it just focused on this fun week part?
We just focus on the fun week because it's preseason. Yeah. And most of them are just trying to recover, right? Their bodies are like,
that's
get
what
in
I would
the
have
training
thought.
Room type of thing. But then they're going to get some shots up on their own, that type of thing, and stretch and do some things together, but not coach led.
Very cool. Talk to me about Iron Teams.
Yeah. So again, we want accountability. And so we have our team strategically broken up into groups of four, typically with upperclassmen and younger classmen, because we want that connection. We want that communication. We know our new guys are going to be getting homesick. And so we just want touches, right? And it's not always going to be from the coaches, but we want to be intentional with player to player. And so we have our iron teams getting together, checking in and checking up with each other, just coming alongside each other. Maybe they're going out to lunch together, it's running in town together, but it's being together. It's holding each other accountable from they're getting in extra shots for the week. Hey, are you getting your work? And again, Chris, player-led team's always better than the coach-led team. So we're trying to get guys to own it. So we continue to put guys in leadership positions where they, because we don't do captains. I was talking to one of our coaches. We're not going to just give somebody a title, because anybody can lead. And leading us is all about serving. And so we just put people in those positions. And so these iron teams are really valuable. Maybe it's taking a teammate to his doctor's appointment. Maybe it's just being there because his girlfriend broke up with him type of thing. And so it's just being there for life issues beyond just the core, because those relationships then We think then it comes in and helps on the court too. So it's dual. It just really works out. But that shared ownership is huge for us.
How are you creating these iron teams? How do they?
And so based on who people are, their personalities, what year they are, we'll just break them up into groups, and from year to year we'll try to switch that up. And so that's how we do. There's no perfect method to that. And but yeah, that's what we do. And then Chris, we do leadership teams, so we have recruiting teams. So we've got guys that are good on social media and they have good people skills. They're on our recruiting team, so they're helping reach out to recruits for us. And then we have our basketball guys that are diehard junkies basketball that are making sure guys are getting their basketball workouts. Our academic team checking in on guys, are you getting to class, are you doing those things? And then our strength and agility guys and nutrition. And so we're placing them in all these different little teams, again giving them a chance to lead but also to be accountable to one another.
How big are these groups usually?
Yeah, usually they're about four guys in a group.
Yeah,
Yeah,
very
four
cool.
four
What a
four
great
guys in a
idea.
group.
And you mentioned player-led part of it, and that's by necessity a little bit over your years, no doubt too, because you reference you don't necessarily have full-time staff. You don't necessarily have all these different people to do these things. So empowering the players to do them obviously builds their skill sets for life, but also helps you immensely.
100%. Chris, like you, so we now have a JV program, right? We've got 30 guys in the program. Now, I'd be remiss. I don't have a full-time assistant by pay. Coach Stowe, who I'm so blessed to have, and I've had a lot of good assistants. He works his rear off. He works full-time for part-time pay. Right now he's subbing, you know what I mean? And so you find ways to make it work.
Absolutely have to always find those ways and leadership teams you talked about. So let's get into the culture a little bit and talk about how you kind of form and shape this culture a little bit. And I know one of the things you do is these culture meetings.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking about that. Again, we got 18 to 22-year-old men. Sometimes they're 23, a little bit older, whatever, and they're dealing with all sorts of things in life. And we want to be able to walk with them in that, right? The issues that are going on in our culture, whether it's political, it's religious. We got all kinds of stuff that's happening. And how do we create safe space for guys to be able to have conversation? And we can agree to disagree, right? We've got Democrats, we've got Republicans. That's great. Let's love each other. I wish our government could be, how can we disagree but love each other and work together for each other, right? It just drives me absolutely flipping crazy, Chris. And we always say,
Hey, Ryan, I've
you
learned to not talk politics in America.
we thought all the time, do what's right, be and do your best and love others. Let's just love people well. Let's
Agreed.
respect each other for their differences. And that's what I love about
We're
sport.
all humans.
Yes, we're all on the same team. And so that's what I love about basketball. We come together for one common goal, right? We're trying to win a game, right? We're trying to win, and we get to do life, and we get to learn about each other. That's what's great. We had one of our freshmen, his dad's a high school coach. After our game said, he goes back an hour and a half to his dad's game, and three of our guys go with him, a senior, a junior, and a sophomore. They stay the night at his house. Mom feeds the guys. And that's what's so cool. You break down all these barriers. That's what's pretty, I think, pretty incredible and what's so fun, man. We learn so much. I learn so much from my guys all the time. Constantly just trying to learn from them. So these culture meetings, we bring in speakers. We bring in people that just will challenge them in a variety of ways. It may seem things different than them, maybe. And so it's fascinating, but we're just trying to get people to pour into our guys, right? We're just trying to, and for them to just to stretch and to think outside of just the norm or the way that they've always thought about things. And so it's really cool that we are able to do that. It's been
Maybe help us
powerful.
understand, like, how does a culture meeting actually look? Is it like pre-practice, post-practice, separate from practice? How many people are there? What are they doing anything active in terms of being in the meeting? Talk to us about a little bit more of the mechanism of it.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. And again, because when we talk about culture and relationship being important, then we've got to work on that too. It can't just be, oh, we're basketball all the time. That's it. And, oh, this week, because coaches, we can say what's important, but our actions will show. So oftentimes we're going to cut practice short and go to our culture meeting. And we'll go in a room and we don't have any tables in between us. We're going to get in a circle. We're going to be together with each other, and then we're going to have a conversation. So if we have a speaker, which we often do, we're right there front and center again. And it's fascinating. We've had guys that have been in prison sharing about their prison experience, and they were selling drugs or they stabbed someone. We've had things that people are like, and here on this little faith-based campus, and we're bringing in guys that have these records, and but we just want to love them. They made mistakes. They're good people that make bad choices. You know what I mean? So how do we learn from each other? And so we create this, and it's powerful, man. When you get men to be vulnerable and authentic and want to take ownership of our choices, think it's huge, man.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing to see vulnerability, and heart and head meetings, I imagine, are a part of that, aren't they?
Yeah, so we just started that, Chris, last year, but it ties right in. And we usually in the preseason are doing it at 6 a.m. And then as the year goes on, it adjusts. We give the guys a journal because we want them to journal. And the whole, again, mindset is, man, we want to just slow down. We focus on a lot on breathing to start. Yeah, I mean, we want to get, because guys are so distracted, right? With phones, with social media. So we don't bring any of that stuff in. And we just want to center down and we want to be aware of our surroundings and what's happening and how do we connect our heart and our head? And what does that look like? And it goes back to we're talking about being vulnerable and guys are going to share. We're going to ask them to share their feelings, Chris. I know that's crazy. And so they'll journal how they're feeling or what they're feeling. And then we're going to share it with each other. And guys are going to stand up and share what's going on, what they're struggling with, what they're feeling, and maybe rating on a scale of 1 to 10. And so we're just going deep because everybody can say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. And they're not doing fine. We're all broken people dealing with stuff. And so how do we do this together? And so they have that heart and head is okay, this is really important. And Chris, I didn't know how that was going to be received by the guys. They love it. They absolutely love it. After last year's our pilot year, and they're like, oh, this is one of the best things that we do. Don't stop this. And so we spend, it's like a half hour to 40 minutes. But guys get to take off all the masks and everything else. And they just get to be real. And they get to share what their struggles are and what they're thankful for, right? Because you got to be having an attitude of gratitude. And you're right, we're talking about what we're thankful for, who we're thankful for. Hey, your assignment tonight is you need to call the three people you identified today that you're thankful for and let them know. You need to call your mom and let her. So we have the, make sure you're loving your parents. Make sure you're telling them you love them. We take so much for granted, man. It's like, let's slow down and let's keep first things first.
So I love talking about this because there's actually science behind this. Heart yes. Coherence, heart math, a state of cooperative alliance between the heart, mind, body, soul, etc. All that. And it's yes. Coaches, go look up heart coherence, heart math. There's evidence behind this and it's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, we absolutely love it. And again, Chris, I'm learning so much from them and we're being men together, but it's like, we don't have it all figured out. We're not these tough guys. Again, we're trying to figure out life together and what it means to be a man and to be responsible. And because we want these guys to be great husbands and fathers and successful, and whether they're teachers or doctors or anything in between, we want them to make a difference in society.
And you've said this, and that all starts with being present, right? Yeah. Being present in the moment. And that's really ultimately the goal of so much of what you're trying to do here is to just shape their ability to be present, which helps them be a better basketball player, doesn't it?
100%. And we want them to play free then on the court, knowing that their identity is not wrapped into the outcome. Because you got to be free, right? We want to be intense. We want to be passionate. But again, you got to play free. The guys, they understand how to be free in the moment. They're not worried about missing. They don't think about that. They're just doing their job. Man, and just playing at a very high level. And so it just, the connection and the translation is absolutely huge. And the whole visualizing and the imagery, getting guys to do that. I think, again, the power of the mind, it's unbelievable. We don't, the depth of it and to speak positively to ourselves. Sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. We got to be kind to ourselves and guys can beat themselves up. Say, no, you got to be kind to yourself. Speak positively about yourself and to yourself. And because we naturally have negative thoughts, right? And it's, man, we got to replace that with positive thoughts, positive words. So let's, again, continue to encourage, to lift each other up. I think that's huge. Chris, one of the things, if I could just transition, one of the things we do weekly, we call it spotlight. It's a spot, and sometimes it's spotlight Thursday or whatever they do. We identify one guy. We're in a circle after practice in our team time. We connect feet, and it's our circle of trust. I picked that up from Dean Lockwood. If you've not gotten him on your Dino,
ages ago, I know I need to get Dean on. I totally
agree. He's at Michigan State with the women, but down was he was with Pat Summitt at Tennessee.
Well, and when he was at Northwood, was where probably go back to him.
Yeah, Chris. Anyways. Tennessee did this circle of trust after practice. By the way, I met Pat Summitt, we were young. He's the best hire I ever made. And so Dean, I just think the world of Dean. So they connect their feet, it's their circle of trust. And so we stole that. We get together, we do it every day after practice. But then once a week, we do our spotlight on one individual. We spotlight a guy and he stands there while everybody else speaks truth and love to him, basically what they admire and respect about this person. And so they sit there. And they're just getting poured into about who they are as a man, why they're being loved. And it is phenomenal and it's powerful. And it just lifts guys up. Look, and so we got guys that aren't playing, right? You got guys, we got 15 guys that are dressed and we're playing nine to 10. So you got six guys that aren't playing, but their value can't be in playing time. And we get to love and pour into those guys. And we do that with each and every guy. And so every week we're spotlighting. And man, is that just. It's a game changer, Chris. They just it just fills them up, but they're speaking positive. So those relationships are just continuing to go deeper. It's really good.
Hey, coach, a brief time out from the podcast to bring you the Analytics Minute, sponsored by Hoopsalytics. How do you decide who your biggest impact players are? Traditional stats don't tell the whole story, which is why high-level pro and college teams rely on analytics systems like Hoopsalytics to make data-driven lineup decisions. Examining team stats when a player is on the floor tells a more compelling story. For example, you can use net points per possession to determine your best two-way players, as well as your offensive and defensive stars, or use the team rebounding percentage for each player to see who has the biggest impact on rebounding. The results may surprise you. Hoopsalytics brings the most powerful analytics to teams of all levels. It's easy to use and affordable. It's like AI for basketball coaches. Discover how Hoopsalytics can help you make better data-driven coaching decisions. Visit hoopsalytics.com/ball. That's hoopsalytics.com/ball today to learn more and start analyzing your games for free. You're painting a picture for all of us of the type of support that an individual player has within your program, from obviously these heart and head meetings to obviously these leadership teams, these iron teams. There's really no reason for a player to struggle because they should feel safe to be able to reach out and be able to get support. And ultimately, that's the hardest battle ultimately for people and as individuals is to be able to say, I need help and can someone help me? And chances are there's somebody gone through this experience and they've seen that, right? So I love this. This is such a beautiful example of creating a support system in a program.
Yeah, thanks. And again, it's a lot of it's trial and error through the years. We don't have it all figured out, but it's that space, right? So we've got guys struggling with anxiety, guys struggling with depression. We're trying to help getting counseling. And the fact that they'll be open now that you're getting, you create that space and they're saying, man, I'm going to get counseling. That's great. And so we'll work with parents. Let's get help. That's a sign of strength. And recognizing that you need help is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. Growing up as a kid, I always saw men don't cry. You suppress it. We fight. It's that whole military style, that old school style. So, you know, that's just,
we still have that culture in the world, and it's still causing men problems. No question.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, Chris. It really is. And yeah, we're continuing to work on it. It's a blast. It's you right. Losing sucks. I'm just going to tell you right now, anybody who says it's okay to lose, they're a loser as far as I'm concerned. The goal, again, it's just not our purpose. And because our identity is not going to be tied in that. So I think sometimes people think, oh, you guys are soft or you're fit. No, that's our, we're going to freaking come after you, man. We're going to be
you guys
balls
are not
ball.
Soft.
We're
I
gonna,
know that.
we're going to come after you with everything we got. When the game's over, we're going to shake your hand and the best team win on that given day or night. And we're going to go about life.
Well, it also paints a picture for coaches, and especially parents that are coaching or youth coaches is, look, we need to normalize things. Like we're all humans. Like I'm a human. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm all those things. In addition to being happy, excited, all that.
Yep.
It's just
yep.
natural part of the world. So normalizing those things helps people deal with them. And if we did that more for people, especially young people, they would probably have a better time coping. And then what I love as well, just to help support what you're saying here is you tie it back to gratitude. Gratitude is the most powerful thing in the world. You can overcome almost any problem if you focus on gratitude.
100%, Chris. I heard a quote a while back. It said, joy only exists where gratitude is present. Every day we should be waking up and giving. We are so blessed, the freedoms that we have, the health we have, the people in our lives, and we're going to complain about what we don't have. How am I going to complain because I don't have as much scholarship money as somebody else? I mean, deal with that. Is that really what you're going to complain about? Come on, our operating budget. Get in the right headspace, man, in the right heart space. Be thankful because it's hard to, can you really complain and give thanks at the same time? You can't. So if you have that right attitude, again, the attitude of gratitude, then man, and I struggle. Look, I fall short, Chris. I'm
sure.
Gonna just be honest. There are times I
again, you're human.
Complain.
The realities are realities, and sometimes it's okay to be frustrated and express a reality. But you don't stay in that state. That's the key part of what you're trying to shape for your players and yourself as well. You're not staying in that state. So we've talked a lot about team. Now talk a little bit about individual player meetings and how you run those, how you organize those. What are some of the ideas? How long do they take, et cetera, et cetera?
So we meet with our guys individually every week. And so Coach, I'll meet like this week, I'm meeting with the upperclassmen. Coach Stowe is meeting with the underclassmen, and next week we'll swap. Right. So we're just getting touches. And typically it's in my office. The guys will come to my office. Sometimes I'll meet them somewhere else on campus. I may even take a guy. We may even go out for lunch. It's Coach, hey, can we do lunch? We're like, let's go out for lunch. And there are times I'm going to let them lead or I'll lead. I'll have and we're just going to have conversation. And sometimes we're going to talk basketball. Sometimes we're talking girlfriends. We're talking parents. We're talking name, life, just life stuff. Again, things that are important to them. And sometimes we're doing Jay Billis 94 feet, where we're just after practice, where we're just walking with a guy and having conversation. And the question I was asking yesterday, I said, what is it you desire? You know, I just want to give him space. What is it that you desire? And let them just think. And because so often we just go and it's like, do we have any clarity, any direction? What is it we're trying to accomplish? What is, it goes back to the whole purpose thing. What, because we just bounce around and we get trapped in this social media world. And we just, again, it goes back to being present and just knowing who we are and where we're trying to go and how we want to, how we can get there.
So let's pick a specific topic, maybe something to do. You already brought up playing time. Let's say 8 or 9 players play and the rest don't get to play as much. So how are you handling that conversation? Not just, it's not a one-time conversation. That's the other part of it. So help us understand a little bit how Ryan handles that.
Yeah. Again, direct, straightforward, and honest. That you want to speak the truth in love and continue to encourage guys and also challenge them. Some guys, we've got guys that are improving. And again, it's about getting as close to their ceiling as they can, each guy. And yet the reality is, there may be a guy in front of you that's just better than you. And so you got to continue to stay the course and be patient. Don't just settle in. It's that relentless pursuit of excellence every single day in everything that you do. And so you're trying to create these habits, these lifestyle choices. And so when it's basketball or in the classroom or wherever you are. And so, yeah, we just try to identify what they're doing well and growth areas. Again, it's growth opportunities. When we do our team time every day, at the end of practice, we always say, okay, what are our team shout outs? So guys can speak, what did we do well for the day? And then what are growth areas for us collectively? And then we'll say, do you have any individual shout outs? And they'll identify guys who did things well, but then we'll say, are there individual growth areas? And then guys will be like, man, I've got to be better with my communication, or I got to quit giving a baseline. Or again, it's all about ownership, just being on the same page with guys, right? And so I want to know where their heart is, or what they're thinking about their play. And here's the deal. You're really talented, but you don't play hard enough. At the end of the day, you don't play hard enough. And so you got to learn to create a better work ethic. And part of it's because I don't think you understand the game. It's happening faster than you're processing. It's not because you don't want to. It's just you're not processing. So you got to continue to play. You got to get extra reps. And it can't be just getting shots off the gun, because shots off the gun doesn't translate to somebody guarding you or you guarding and having to make decisions. It's about decision making. We're trying to help guys increase their decision making, and then under pressure too. How do you respond? That's right. Quarterbacks are really good when they have time in the pocket. Suddenly they're under pressure, under duress. Man, they're not nearly as accurate. You're going to get picks. And same thing with our guys. And so how do you respond under pressure? And so we try to put them under pressure in practice, right? You try to simulate that. Back to your question with our individual meetings, we're just trying to be straightforward, but we want them to speak into it as well. But then we'll ask our guys, look, we're predominantly white camp. We got African American. Hey, what is it like as a minority? Are you being treated fairly? Are you being as a safe? We want to know these things because it's important. They need to know that they're cared for and that they're safe and that they can be who God's created them to be. And so we talk about all sorts of things with our guys. Hey, are you, man, your lifestyle choices, because if you want to be the best basketball player you can be, what you tell me, then, man, I'm hoping you're staying away from the drugs and the alcohol. And we're going to talk about sports betting. We got guys that like to do some sports betting. Like, man, we got to be careful. That's the addictions, the temptations that are out there for all of us. And it's all on your right here at your fingertips, man. So those are the things that we're going to talk, but we're not here to condemn them and tell them you're going to, we're trying to love these guys, man, and walk through life, because we want to be a support system for the rest of their lives, not just their 4 years, man. It's for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. And
Service projects are another big part of your program. Talk to us about what is that, and maybe give us an example of what one would be.
yeah, so man, just right down the street in Jackson, it's about 12 miles away, is Jackson Interfaith Shelter, or the homeless shelter. And so we actually did a field trip game where we have all the young, the elementary and middle school kids come to our game for free. We pack the gym. It's just, they scream the whole time. It's wild. And we've combined it with a canned food game. So they bring canned foods and that type of stuff. We get this huge truck full of food. And then our guys, we take it to the interfaith shelter and we get to provide food and help out down there. And they get to see, look, you got homeless people. We're upset because the heat in the dorms break down, which I get. But so we get a chance just to serve in a variety of ways. And that's just one example. We have some special needs kids that we get to pour into and be a part of and just love on people, right? That's at the end of the day. How can we use what we've been blessed with and give back to other people, and especially those that are less fortunate? That just were, I mean, we didn't control the families we were born into, and neither did other people. And some people have had, man, a much tougher road than us. So we're always looking for ways to pour into other people. Again, it's that whole selfless and servant. And so we've, again, yeah, we've got a leadership team that helps with that. And we look for things and ways to serve. Maybe it's going into the school and reading. It's just a variety of different things and opportunities. So it's just about being intentional, right? Inspect what you expect. And if we say this is important, then we got to live it out.
It's great stuff. And I know one of
the challenges, and again, they're not on full scholarship. They have other responsibilities. And it's hard at a small college to be able to say to players, hey, listen, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And I know it because I live that too. But the importance of it is obviously real. We all understand that. So talk to me maybe a little bit deeper about how you actually shape it for them in terms of the value in return.
Chris, again, we're always coming back to who we are and the identity and the core values and just being intentional, right? I'm just thinking about like our locker room and the space that we have, and we're blessed. We had a donation, and so we've got a nice locker room, and it's about doing life together on a daily basis. I just think it's huge. And just as simple as asking how classes are going. I heard from a guy the other day that a player at another program, and he has one meeting a year with his coach. One meeting a year. And it's just strictly about basketball. And everybody's different. And I'm not here to judge anybody, but I'm just thinking, you know what I mean? I just think we're just missing the mark. Again, are we transactional? Are we transformational? What is it we're trying to do? But Chris is, before we can lead others, we got to be able to lead ourselves. So I think it's so important that as coaches, as human beings, we're continuing to try to grow, right? And so it's that relentless pursuit for us. If we're going to say it, we've got to be modeling. I can't tell my guys, hey, you should be doing this and this, but then I'm not doing it as well. I'm not modeling what that looks like. So I'm constantly trying to pick people's brains and get better, like whether it's yours or Matt, whoever it may be, or other coaches or just people in general, because I think we all need mentors. We need all people that can speak, again, truth and love to us that we can learn and take from. And so I try to read every day, right? I'm trying to read 10 pages of a book every day. And I'm pretty consistent with that. And it's a variety. Usually it's leadership or it's faith-based books, you name it. But I'm just trying to glean from other people. We do a white elephant Christmas party, our team. We have a blast with that, right? My wife makes her famous baked spaghetti, and the guys love that. And we put the gifts under the tree. We draw numbers, and then they steal gifts from each other. And we just have an absolute blast with that. And man, I got a gift nobody else wanted. I got a book. Right, one of the guys packed a book. He got two books. It was Tim Tebow's book, Look Again. So any chance I get to read, man, I want to read, and I want to learn and know what other people are doing and how they're making a difference.
Said to the why
about why you do that and why we put the time into that and why they need to. That's really well said. And I know another big part of your program is recognizing different individuals, different unique things, teammate of the week, junkyard dog, communicator of the week, defender of the week. Talk to us about maybe the mechanism about how someone selected it and then go behind each award a little bit to say why you choose that award.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. So our teammate of the week has nothing to do with playing time, right? It's all about what does it mean to be a great teammate? And so every week the guys vote. See, well, and I've got my sheet on my board, everybody's names, and so whoever gets the most votes wins. And so what we have, Chris, I don't know if you can, I'm going to hold this up. This is our teammate of the week pail. And so the winner of this, I don't know if you see it, they get to sign it. So in front of the guys during our team time, we recognize our team, they get to sign it. And then they keep this pail in their stall for the week or their locker for the week. And the pail is just symbolic of pouring into other people. So that's what that means. And so the teammate of the week, and we track that. And then the communicator of the week, because we try to really emphasize communication, and we say we want to be a defensive-minded team. And so our coaches and our student assistants get to select who is the best communicator for the week. Because anybody, again, it doesn't have to be somebody who only played in the games, right? It can be, it's everybody has equal opportunities. Like, so we want to highlight and recognize who our communicator of the week was. Same thing then for our defender of the week. And in our locker room, we have a poster with everybody's name on it. And at the bottom, it's communicator of the week and defender of the week, and they get to sign it for the week because it's in dry erase marker, who is the communicator and who is the defender. And then the names up above are for all the guys. Like anytime they get a hustle play during the week, they dive on the floor, they have a jump ball, they take a charge, they save a ball going out of bounds. And we recognize that a hustle play, they get to put a mark on their name and they track it. And so we just try to track hustle plays because that's important to us. Then our junkyard dog,
Look at
we've got
that.
this. We stole this from the Cleveland Cavaliers
It's a
because
big
they.
belt, coaches, for listening on the podcast, or sorry, a big chain around the neck.
Yeah, and this is again gritty, disciplined, selfless, defensive. So it doesn't have to be somebody that we do this after games that we win. And so it's a, and when we do team times after games, our parents are part of that. And so our seniors typically will lead and they'll, thank the parents because we want the parents to feel valued too, because they're an important part. When we're recruiting kids, we're recruiting parents too. Again, we talk about parents briefly. Look, parents in the youth and in high school, they're crazy. They mean well, but they're crazy, Chris. And it's sad because it's a game and kids just meant to have fun. If they're not having fun, they're not going to keep doing it. And parents put way too much pressure on their kids, most of them, in my opinion, from what I've seen through the years. And it's sad because kids end up quitting because there's too much pressure put on. They just need to have fun. So I know that's a sign. So our parents are part of our team time after games. And we fill them in on who the teammate of the week was, communicator of the week was. And then we recognize our junkyard dog is based on if we win in front of everybody, they go and put this on, and the guys wear this, and it's just a cool thing for our guys. And then we do our defender of the game, our offensive player of the game, and then we just give them again, just a little token. We'll throw a ball, a little spongy ball. Again, it's just anytime we can recognize guys, we want to be able to do that. And then after on these games, we're going to go up and meet the new people in the circle, get introduced, right? We're always meeting new people. And then we do our two clap together. And so our parents are a part of it. I was emailing our senior moms yesterday about senior day coming up in 2 weeks, about the food and all this, because they want to be a part of it. And they provide food at various games. And what kid doesn't want food? And what kid doesn't want? And we want free food and gear and food, right? That's what kids love. And so we involve our parents that way. And when I first started, Chris, I wanted nothing to do with parents. I was young. I wanted to keep them at bay. And it was like, hey, you're adults. I don't want to hear from your parents. And I'm like, no, we want parents. We don't need coaches. Here's the role of the parents, just support and love, not just your son, but the other 14 guys as well, what that looks like. And our parents are pretty awesome and they love being included. So that's really important to us.
I wanted to ask you more
about that. And you brought it up, post-game team time with parents. So after wins, after losses, when do parents come down? Where's this happening? Take us through, maybe after the game ends, take us through what happens next in terms of your team and then leading into that time.
Yep, obviously win or lose, we're going to shake hands with the other team. We go into the locker room, and anytime we win, we celebrate all our wins. Don't ever take that for granted. And if we have an alum, we have somebody in this, we always are grabbing somebody to lead our celebration. And so the guys are like waiting, who's leading this time? And then we have one of our social media guys, one of our student assistants, will video it and they post it. But a guy comes in and we just celebrate our wins. The guys go crazy and they're jumping around. And it's a blast. And then we'll address the team. Our coaches will address our guys. Man, we come together in a circle and we a quick prayer, and then we head out. The guys are going to shower, and then we head out, and parents and loved ones are waiting out in the gym for us. Once everybody's out, hey, we team time, and everybody comes. We get in the big circle, and then look, I turn it over again. Player led, our guys lead it. You know what I mean? So seniors say, hey, parents, thanks. We love you guys so much. So win or lose, we do team time. Home, away, we do our team time. So if it's on the other team's court, they're gone. We're out there in the center court doing our team time, man. And it's just huge. So we just want to value our parents. And it's a cool thing. And if we lose and we, even though we don't feel like, we're going to do the right thing. Our parents drove to a game. Let's be thankful that they did that. And so we get to do that, man. We just had one of our young men got picked up in Montenegro. Right, he was done, and so he was a student assistant for us this year. Finished up classes first semester. He just got picked up. He just flew out three. What was it? Friday. He just flew out for these, and so we're pumped for him. And so he came in the middle and team time. Man, we all laid it. We all prayed over him. Our parents, everybody. We're just hugging him. Our parents and wishing him well. And boom, and there goes Kevin off to Montenegro. Well, hopefully, it's going so far for him.
Ryan, your passion for this shines, man. It's just awesome to hear you talk about all this and so much practical value for coaches. But you've had incredible success. You won national championship. You've had tons of wins, tons of sustained success over seasons, 20 plus win seasons over and over again. So connect this culture piece a little bit to on the court style of play, how you practice, how you play, because obviously it helps you guys play better.
Yeah, we think so. We think there's that connection, right? And so we want both, right? We want to be fiercely competitive. We want to do it the right way, right? We want to make sure we honor the game, we honor our opponent. I think that's huge. And yeah, I always laugh again, I alluded to it earlier. We're coming to win, man. We're gonna get on the bus tonight and we're gonna be on the road and we're gonna lace them up and we're gonna try to just dominate that team across from us. But we want to do it the right way. But yeah, when we have the culture, the unity, the togetherness, I think it allows us to play at a higher level and it allows us to enjoy doing it. Chris is because you've coached, if you have some eggheads, if you have some idiots on your team, it can wreck it for everybody. You can be winning games and be miserable because you got guys that are so selfish and making about and the decisions they're making, it just undermines everything. And so we think a space where guys are either going to be all in or they're going to weed themselves out because it's like, hey, you're going to be a part of something bigger than yourself because here are the standards that we've set and you're going to live up to these standards or we're going to choose to go a different direction. Either we're going to ask you to where you want to transfer to and we'll help you or you're going to recognize that it's not the right fit for you and you're going to move on. So when we're recruiting, again, the fit piece is everything. As long as people have the right attitude and mindset, we're going to work with them. They're going to work with us. And it's amazing what you can do together, right? And that's what's so fun and so rewarding when you see this growth together and then the success and it's paying off on the court. But so often we want it right away. Sometimes it's, I mean, that delayed gratification is, man, you got to, the best is yet to come. You got to just stay with it. In our culture, we want everything right now, right? Amazon Prime, you order in the morning. Sometimes it's there that night or the next day. I'm saying that's just not how it works. And so these guys that are putting the work not in the plant time, you gotta keep watering, you gotta keep doing it over and over again, and you're gonna break through. It's gonna take time. But yeah, no, there's a huge connection there with our culture and then having success. And you talk about again, we've lost a lot of games too. To be resilient, you gotta come through. And it's again, those losses are harder than what the wins are enjoyable sometimes. And that's just one of the downsides of coaching. It's just tough, and everybody wants to judge you by your record. And I just don't care. I don't know what my record is. I don't care. Again, I want to stay in the moment today and I want to keep moving forward. And what's in the past is in the past. I just want to keep trying to impact lives.
You've done that and you've impacted coaches as well. And I know that's been a big part of your philosophy through your years as well, is giving and getting from so many coaches in your life. And you've done that for us and our audience today. And can't thank you enough, Ryan, for sharing the game with us.
Chris, thanks so much. My honor and privilege.